south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, here's an interesting email from an avid listener. His name is Gringo Sin Nombre. That means gringo without a name. That must be a take on the old Clint Eastwood cowboy movie where he was the man without a name, riding on a horse with no name. No, that's the song, right? In any event, he's a gringo with no name, and he says, Johnny, couple of requests here, please, sir. First, a comment, because I'd like to digress right off the bat. Thanks for your amazing show. I'm 5 years away from retiring and getting down there, either to Guatemala, El Salvador, or close by, permanently. Yes, I'm one of those government slugs you talk about all the time on the show. I'm not offended. Because, you know, as these things go, the pension will be sweet. How sweet it is. And will allow me to enjoy a very comfortable life once I get down there. Johnny, I doubt you'll remember talking to me a few years ago. We did a phone consult. Johnny, I'm no newbie. I traveled and visited through Mexico, Honduras, Panama, Colombia, and Venezuela over the last years. A committed expat wannabe, for sure. Now for my requests. Request number one. On a recent show, you mentioned we could email you for information about Anarcapulco in Mexico. Can you please send that information off for me? All right, me Johnny here. Ningún problema, señor gringo sin nombre. I'll send it off right away. Then he says, Johnny, here's request number two. You have effectively convinced me to avoid living in Mexico, Belize, Costa Rica, Panama, Venezuela, Brazil, Ecuador, and Colombia. Your solid information is backed up by my own boots-on-the-ground experiences in many of those places myself. So it didn't take much convincing. I'm an easy sell on those points. The question is, though, could you please cover an episode on why you don't seem to like Nicaragua and why it isn't a very solid choice for expats? Johnny, I've listened to your show from the very beginning. I actually found you on about your third episode and still listen faithfully twice a week. You've mentioned Nicaragua negatively because of the Chinese and their failed canal attempt. You were right, of course, about that. And you mentioned real problems with the socialist president Daniel Ortega. Spot on with that one, too. But that's about all I can remember you going into detail about Nicaragua. The reason why I'm inquiring, because Nicaragua is so damn cheap, Johnny. And most of it isn't touristy. The Chinese failed, and Daniel Ortega will get the boot and replaced with another such idiot. So, Johnny, again, I'd love to hear a little more detail on what else is wrong with Nicaragua and why you don't recommend it, so I can firmly cross it off my visit and see if it's worth it list. All right, let's stop for a second there. Be Johnny again. You know, I've been to Nicaragua a number of times, and I do remember mentioning that if you're the adventurous type and you're single and you like rolling the dice and getting into markets that have bottomed out, Nicaragua could be the place for you. But understand, you will be taking a chance. You know, with all the bad PR, press, and trouble they've had lately, tourism is way down. Everyone's canceling. Hotels and restaurants are closing. Economically, the country's in the dumpster. In fact, there were a lot of tourist projects started that just completely stopped or collapsed. That includes first-world gringoized housing developments, too. And many, many gringos and expats are looking to get out. Everything's for sale, whether it's advertised that way or not. A lot of it at fire sale prices, too. But, a big Cardassian but here, plenty of sellers, but there are no buyers. So, man, if you're an adventurer and you want to get into a place at rock-bottom prices, Nicaragua's for you. But believe me, don't expect to start any kind of traditional tourist business. You'll probably die on the vine. That means restaurant, coffee shop, mom-and-pop hotel, Airbnb, forget about it. With any kind of brick-and-mortar business, you're taking a big chance. Though the rent will certainly be cheap. But if you've already got some dough coming in, let's say a pension, Social Security, or have an internet-based business, or are thinking about setting one up, Nicaragua or practically any Latin country is a good choice. However, if you're going to do the internet business thing, you're probably going to have to be in, around, or near one of the big or medium-sized towns. Because when you're out in the boonies, the internet can be spotty or even non-existent. And as far as Nicaragua being dirt cheap, our emailer, Mr. Gringo Sin Nombre, is entirely correct. However, right now the problem is the country is sort of under martial law. And that's not a good thing. That means the military and the cops can be brutal and extreme. But that doesn't much affect gringos, expats, and tourists. The fact is, no matter what's going down in a Latin country, gringos are not at all part of the political process. They leave us alone because we're a nice source of foreign income and jobs. But man, if you're a college kid protesting on campus or in the streets, you could end up getting yourself tear gassed and clubbed and wake up in the emergency room, or not wake up at all. Because I think now up to around 250 people have been killed in protests since this whole political Daniel Ortega presidential problem erupted about 3 years ago. And almost all the dead and injured? College students in the street protesting. Not a single gringo. Though if a do-gooder, college-aged gringo or two got clocked in the act of protesting, you know what? I'd have about zero sympathy for them. But that's just the cynic in me. Over the years, I've seen way too many do-gooder gringos come down, handing out condoms, vaccinating everything that moves, building outhouses for Jesus. And when they leave, you know what? In most cases, so do their feel-good efforts and supposed good intentions, no matter how misguided. Another reason I'm not too big on Nicaragua is because it's very hot. It's in the lowlands. It's not in the Altiplano. It doesn't have one. Then again, a lot of gringos and expats love the heat and the beach. At least they say they do until they've been down a while and there's been a few power failures, because not only does the air conditioning go out, so do those big ceiling fans. And please, don't give short shift to old school ceiling fans. The secondary positive effect of those big ceiling fans is they keep away the mosquitoes. Oh, and don't ever forget, if you live by the water, in the tropics, in the lowlands, you will be using toxic bug spray. Oh, you can order one of those green, eco-friendly, non-toxic types. There's dozens of those brands on Amazon, and they ain't cheap. They might work okay up in Minneapolis and Cleveland, but not so well with mosquitoes as big as sparrows. But beaches? Everybody loves beaches, right? And Nicaragua's got plenty of beach, a big section on the Pacific and the Atlantic side. Though typical of most Central American beaches, on a scale of 1 to 10, none of them barely rate a 5. No white sand, murky water. And except for a couple of very small islands about 50 miles off the east coast of Nicaragua called the Corn Islands, that's like popcorn, you'll find no pristine Bahama-style waters or white sand beaches. Bottom line, if you're solely thinking about your budget, Nicaragua fits the bill, but man, there are lots of other Latin countries that are almost as cheap, but not so screwed up economically and politically. Oh, and I mentioned if you're on a budget, you're an adventurous type, and you're single, Nicaragua could be a good place for you. The single part is because I wouldn't necessarily want to bring down a wife and family to a place that's got that kind of political and social unrest. Not that you have to be afraid of the police and the military, though you see a lot of them out on the streets. Like I said, gringos and tourists are pretty much exempt from all that. The problem is the economy's in the crapper, the people are getting poorer and losing their jobs, so crime is on the upswing. The question is, should you cross Nicaragua off your visit and see if it's worth it list? Well, I'd say yes, forget about it. But in the end, as always, it's your call. And finally, we have request number 3 from our gringo without a name. He says, Johnny, what about Peru? You never really talk much about that place. Back in the 90s, I had a friend who loved it there. What are your thoughts on Peru? And by the way, thank you, Johnny. Your show is the best. The work you do is very much appreciated, but still, it drives me crazy, though, when people get upset with you plugging your seminars on the show. Duh. Where else are you supposed to do it? In the meantime, you're producing free, F-R-E-E, great material that's both real and valuable. And in all these years, you only pitch and mention your seminars 2 times a year. Then he says, I personally would love to see how those people, the complainers, would like themselves doing the work of 2 shows a week for free and not being able to monetize it in any other way. I wonder, Johnny, if those people who complain work for free. But again, I digress as well. Signed, El Gringo Sin Nombre. So our gringo without a name doesn't mind me plugging my seminars. After all, he's got a point there. I've done something like 865 shows now. And you get them all for nothing. Then again, you get what you pay for, right? Speaking of getting out of Dodge, or a reason or two to get the hell out of Dodge, I have this email from Texas Aggie. He sent me a section of a blog here. It says, Johnny, did you know the state of New Mexico gives all illegals emergency welfare? They don't have to go through any process like Americans have to go through to get it. They're handed an EBT card loaded with $1,000 plus $200 per child paid every month until their court date, which could be years later. The governor of New Mexico has a real crisis on his hands. Who's paying for it? Not him. Other people's money, of course. American taxpayers. All right, Texas Aggie, thanks for pointing out that revolting development. If that's not reason enough to get the hell out of Dodge, I don't know what is. By the way, about those EBT cards. You know, almost 30 years ago when I was back in Chicago, they didn't call them EBT cards. They were just welfare cards. And to be on welfare was an embarrassment. You just didn't go around casually mentioning it, nor did you ever want to flash your card in front of anyone. Of course, I knew some people who were on welfare, but I never actually saw one of the cards. Nor had I ever stood next to anyone in the grocery store line who was paying with one of those cards. So what's that got to do with Latin America? After all, this is a show about living in Latin America. Well, glad you asked that question. The other day, I was on Amazon looking to check out, and there was a pop-up window that said, we accept EBT cards, and you could sign up for Amazon Prime with your EBT card. What the f***? I buy a lot of from Amazon, and I don't even have Amazon Prime. Come on, do you need any more reasons to get the hell out of Dodge? Speaking of getting the hell out of Dodge, here comes that seminar plug. My latest and greatest week-long Expat Insider Seminar will be kicking off in about 3 weeks now. It starts in Guatemala, Central America on July 6th. So as of the date this show goes out, Sunday, June 16th, that means you still got a couple of weeks to put it together. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com and click on Johnny's seminar link. By the way, how's your Plan B coming? Are you procrastinating, just sitting around thinking about it? Or have you gotten your plan in motion? I'm sure you have a certain feeling that something's in the air. Something bad's coming. No one knows what or when, but it's coming. So then what about that Plan B insurance policy? You're working on it? Or maybe you're just glued to the old neighborhood and are resigned to going down with the ship. Enough said about that. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. Our emailer was asking about Peru. He said he had a friend down there in the 90s who liked it a lot. Aha. The thing is, when gringos and expats travel, when they go to a particular destination, if they had a good time, chances are they'll return to the same place over and over again. Like, for example, Cancun or Costa Rica. Of course, human nature being as it is, they like to brag and prattle on about it to their friends, neighbors, and relatives. And if you've never been out of the country, the first time you land in the tropics, it's a different world, and many people instantly fall in love with the place. Now, suppose you landed for the first time in a real hole like Tegucigalpa, Honduras, Belize City, Belize, or Juarez, or Tijuana, Mexico. Now, most gringos and expats, when they land in those places, think they're real dumps and wouldn't go back. But suppose the very first thing that happens to you, when you first get out of the airport and jump in a taxi, you find a $100 bill wedged between the seat. Man, would you not have developed a terrific first impression of that place? Take the reverse situation. Suppose you ended up at the Hard Rock Hotel in Panama City, a place most gringos and expats absolutely love. So you check into your room, turn on the shower, the water's brown and stinky, and when you lifted the toilet seat, found, well, the previous tenant's partially digested tacos. Ew. Well, I'd be willing to bet no matter what positive things happen from then on, your next vacation, if you had the choice, would not be in Panama. What I'm trying to say is tourists, especially gringo tourists, they tend to judge an entire country by one, two, or a handful of visits down. In fact, that's exactly what's happening in the bad press department in the Dominican Republic right now. You've got two or three cases of people staying in upscale hotels checking out permanently. And a couple more people after that who said they got deathly ill after drinking something from a minibar. So after that kind of press, the entire gringo opinion about the DR has shifted into the no-go zone. Certainly my mother and her widow's club will never book a trip there. Same with cruise ships and airlines. You got a couple of cases of faced passengers falling overboard. Suddenly you've got a whole slew of gringos canceling their reservation. You know, it's an odd thing. I could be sitting in an airport lounge, coffee shop, or waiting room, and there'll always be one gringo or gringa who whines and complains about everything. Yeah, they usually end up spending their time spitting venom in gringo expat blogs and forums. Meanwhile, in our same hypothetical waiting room, you're bound to find a gringo who loves just about everything, even things like standing in line in mañana time, stuff that drives many of us nuts. Hey, people don't change. We bring our good or bad attitudes and personalities down on the trip with us. Bottom line, our ideas about a particular Latin country depend mostly on three things. Number one, your first impressions. Number two, how long you've had boots on the ground, and your temperament and personality type. So you've got gringo haters and complainers, and others who just love everything and thrive on diversity. I mean, how can you explain the fact that in one of the most terrible whole cities on the planet, that's Port-au-Prince, Haiti, you walk around, see and meet gringos here and there who've made it their home and seem to be happy and enjoying the place. Yet to the vast majority of first world people, yours truly included, it's a Mad Max movie in Technicolor. So bottom line, be careful who you ask for opinions on a particular Latin country or city. Don't give too much credence to people who've only been to one particular city or country and haven't been around. And beware of opinions from gringos who only hang out in tourist areas. Oh, and don't put too much faith in opinions of gringos who don't speak Spanish. I mean, let's face it, if gringos who don't speak Spanish are so smart, why are they always getting nailed for gringo prices? The thing is, if you don't know some Spanish, you won't even know what questions to ask. Then again, I've got lots of gringo and expat friends who've come down to my seminars and have stayed in Latin America permanently, who, after being down 3, 4, 5, even 6 years, they don't speak a lick of Spanish, or maybe only 20 words. That's not enough when you're off the gringo tourist trail. And you know, it never fails when I get to talking to them. I see their apartments and homes and the stuff they've bought. Sometimes, just because they don't speak Spanish, they pay way too much. Not always by any means, but sometimes, yes. But it's their business, so most times I don't say anything. I figure if you're here in Latin America, especially off the trail where everyone speaks Spanish, in 3 or 4 years, you have better picked up some. But that's not always the case. You know, even if gringos in some cases are paying too much for things, they must be all right with it or they wouldn't have bought this stuff, right? The truth is, even gringos and expats who don't speak much Spanish at all seem to be quite content. And for all the BS they had to go through to make the move down, the vast majority are glad they did it. How well you fit in and adapt has a lot to do with attitude, you know. I think the right word to use here is contentment, not necessarily happiness. I mean, really, how many times, let's say in a month, can you say you were really, genuinely happy? You know, big eaten grin, huge wave of exhilaration flowing through you, like a kid on Christmas morning. Well, I think that's pretty rare in adults, unless you're bipolar and in the manic phase. I'll settle for long stretches of contentment. How about you? After all, happiness can be extremely fleeting. Contentment can last a long, long time. So what's contentment? Well, it starts with feeling good, nothing hurts. And for me, it's waking up every day and having something to look forward to. As for happiness, it's overrated. Oh, and as for that song I could never stand, Don't Worry, Be Happy, he hasn't had a hit song since, so I'm sure he's changed his mind. Oh, and don't go confusing laughter with happiness. Some of the most miserable people I know will laugh heartily when someone takes a pratfall or you tell them a good joke. By the way, don't you think it's odd that we're programmed to laugh when someone else gets hurt? That is, provided there is no blood or broken bones. But I digress as usual. Where were we? Oh yeah, observations on Peru. Well, I'll just give you a couple here and go into it more detail later. In fact, I was in Peru just a couple months ago. Lima, the capital, is an ugly, scruffy city. I know I've mentioned this before. With lots and lots of poor indigenous people. Not that that's a bad thing, except they're poor, and poor people have poor habits. For example, every morning I'd walk out of my hotel and smell human feces and urine, even walking down the sidewalks in nice neighborhoods. Which wouldn't be so bad, actually it is pretty bad, if it would actually rain once in a while. They get almost no rain in Lima, Peru. So yesterday's, even last week's rancid pee doesn't have a chance to get washed away or percolate into the dirt, because they've got no dirt. It's all sand, and where it's not sand, it's concrete jungle. Lima's a big city, and I could go on and on about its ugliness. Except, as mentioned, if you're a new arrival to the city and something really cool happens to you on your first couple of days, like finding $100 in a cab, you probably love the place and blog nice things about it day and night. See what I mean? Now, of course, Machu Picchu and those great Inca sites are fantastic, but you fly into Lima and you got to take an additional plane flight or an 8 to 10 hour drive to get there. And once you're there, it's wall-to-wall tourists. And again, I know Lima, and it ain't cheap. The price of electronics, cars, appliances, double or at least half again as much as what you'd pay for the very same things in Central America. In fact, that seems to be one of the big problems with South America in general. Everything you buy that we consider a household convenience is half to twice as much as it is in the States or Central America. All because most of that stuff is not produced in South America, and there's huge import taxes. And though Brazil has a huge industrial base when it comes to refrigerators, washing machines, and common household appliances, it's not the greatest quality. I've seen and used that stuff. They've got a dozen different brands that just don't stand up to the common well-known brands like Hotpoint, GE, Samsung, Whirlpool, and LG. Sure, they're a bit cheaper than the brand name imported stuff. Still, the quality's just not there. Even the supermarkets in Peru are expensive. Of course, if you go out to the smaller towns in the boonies, you can get your fruits and vegetables really cheap like you can in Central America too. But for a gringo or expat living out in the boonies in Peru, that's really taking a step back in time. I don't think many gringos and expats, especially younger ones, would like it that much. Though for some people who are really stressed out and wound up, kicking back and living like that could really prolong your life. Nothing wrong with that, but it's not the life for me. Once again, it's your call, not mine. All right, enough said about Peru for now. We'll get into more details in a future show. Next up, we've got one of my favorite friends, Oscar Miner. He's a cryptocurrency mining expert who's been a speaker at my last few Expat Insider seminars. He's an encyclopedia of information on the subject and an Expat Insider alumni himself. He was first in when there was just one cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and he was mining it oh so long ago when the world had never even heard about it. In fact, every time I stop over his place, he's got something new going on. He's got 10 or 20 little miners cranking away, spitting out all kinds of various cryptocurrencies. So those of you coming down to my Expat Insider seminar in a couple of weeks now, you'll meet Oscar Miner in person, as well as the famous Bitcoin Dan and Captain Mango himself, and a few more surprise guests. Anyway, Oscar Miner just sent me a section of this blog that comes out of Colombia. Has to do with the fact that Colombia is very anti-privacy. In fact, they're requiring fingerprints and official ID, even for the most routine things. It sounds completely out of George Orwell. It's entitled, Going Overboard with Fingerprints, the Impossibility of Being Anonymous in Colombia. So now, on May 31st of this year, an expat gringo in Colombia writes this. Here's the story. I lost my dry cleaning ticket for a shirt the other day. One lousy shirt with a steep cleaning bill of 10,000 pesos, around $3. That is pretty steep. That's gringo prices here in Latin America. Anyway, he says, this leads me to say that Colombia, this country, has a new obsession with fingerprints and the ID cedula. He says the cedula is a peculiar document, unlike anything in the U.S. and probably anywhere except Latin America. Without it, you may as well stay home forever. Gringos and expats will get one once they get their temporary or permanent residency. Then he says, a cedula, the national ID card in Colombia, is like having a social security card, plus a green card, plus a passport, all wrapped up in one. Every Colombian has one, and you shouldn't leave home without it. And when you get one because you're a resident, you can't leave home without it either. Then he says, meanwhile, the dry cleaners not only asked to see my cedula, they also wanted two oversized copies of it. You think that's the end of the story? Well, they took out the dreaded ink pad to take my fingerprints. And remember, that's to pick up a newly cleaned shirt that cost $3. Then he says, then again, it was a Tommy Bahama shirt, so maybe that's perfectly understandable. Though, without exaggeration, he says, I must have had my fingerprints taken 20 times at different government agencies, the same agency often more than once. That's not all. I had to give up my fingerprints to my insurance company, to my cell phone company, even to the supermarket chain to get points on my purchases. And this you won't believe, I had to give up my fingerprints to get a Civica, that's a metro card, to ride the subway. You nut. And how about this? I had to give up my fingerprint to enroll in a program called Incicla. That's a bicycle ride-sharing program. They wanted my fingerprints. In fact, I'm so used to it now that as soon as I see an ink pad, I know what's coming and prepare my fingers, because it can and will be a mess. In other words, when in Colombia, don't wear white. Now, about that CEDLA card. Everyone here in Colombia has their CEDLA number memorized. And they give it out freely to supermarkets, cashiers, you name it, they'll spit it out just to get raffle or grocery store points, whatever. The odd thing is that somehow people's identities seem to remain intact, or no one cares because the guy's identity you may have stolen has nothing but bad debts, no money in the bank, and a stack full of maxed out credit cards. So what use is his wrecked and stained credit to an identity theft crook? So the day after I got my new CEDLA, I got insurance. Without a CEDLA, no insurance. Thank God that's over with. Then he says, wondering about health insurance in Colombia? Yes, they have a public health insurance company. It's called Nueva EPS. And there are dozens of private companies too. But most people, gringos and expats, pick the public health insurance company because it's cheap. And the government marketing department promotes it as being pretty good. The government public health insurance costs around $30 a month. Cheap, yes, but what do you get for it? Supposedly, it covers almost everything with small co-payments. The only problem is that with basic public health insurance, you're at the mercy of the plan's doctors, and the waits and the lines are a way of life. That said, I'm looking into a private policy now to avoid the annoyances and pitfalls of the government plan. All right, me, Johnny here. Yep, I'd say it's a common gringo mistake. It's made in Ecuador, Costa Rica, Colombia, wherever, when gringos are told by rags like International Living that they can get great national health care for about $25 to $50 a month. Yeah, you'll hear a lot of expats and gringos, especially newbie expats and gringos, bragging about how cheap it is until they actually have to use it. When they see it's crap, they break down and go private and pay the $100 a month and get first world health care. Is that not cheap enough for you tight asses out there? By the way, some Latin countries, you can carry both private insurance and the national health care plan. Some people think, like up in the States, having double insurance coverage is the way to go. But you should really give it some thought before you depend only on the national health care system. You should only be looking at it as a safety net plan if you can't get on a private insurance plan. For example, if you're 60 or 65, some private insurances won't accept you at that age. All right. Finally, he says, Medellin, Colombia, where he is a beautiful city, except there's graffiti everywhere. Some of it's pretty good, but there's so much graffiti, there are even organized graffiti bus tours.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos!